Are you just taking your clothes, and is your daddy driving you, or are you flying?
I rented a minivan. I'm going with my daddy.
Your daddy's taking you to New York City?
Mm-hmm. And then he's flying home.
Is he excited? Is he like, son, this is... Oops, you fell.
Yeah. We're recording a thing.
Hi. How are you?
This just could not be a worse time.
I heard you talking about your dad filming.
So. That's weird. On the podcast. Yeah. So get out of my room! Mom! Mom! Shut the door! Okay, I'll watch her. All right, bye. Have fun.
Bye.
She can't hear you.
Oh, I felt like I pissed her off just then. So that's good to know.
I pissed her off. Okay. All right, I'm ready now.
Okay,
now
should we
start?
My mom
riled me up.
Should we include that in the episode?
I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
Hi, everyone. It's Adam.
And this is Meg.
And we just watched another episode.
Of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. It was another episode that's not called Bug.
It's not Bug. But this one had a equally as titillating name to say in your mouth, and it's just called Problem Dog.
Not equally titillating. I disagree.
No, yeah, that's a sexy thing to say.
I would say somewhat titillating. it's called Problem Dog. Is some good stuff. It's a very almost exactly the middle of the season. Felt like it.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. And this is the last episode of Breaking Backwards, live from the Heartland.
This is when we do another episode, there's going to be 3 hours between us instead of just two.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be no hours between us.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Those first five. Guys, if you haven't yet, just go listen to those. Those are where the goods are.
It's the most natural, for
real
sure.
Real pop and crackle between Meg and I. And our audio tracks sound the exact same. It's wonderful. Between you and me and the listener. Excited to get the fuck out of here.
Are you pumped?
I'm a coastal elite. I'm sick of all these cows and corn.
This is going to be a bi-coastal podcast with two questionably maybe bisexual hosts. I'm not sure.
Very bisexual hosts.
Yes.
It's gonna feel different. I'm gonna be very much more me.
Are you going to be in your element?
Yeah. Instead of the yes, ma'am and no, ma'am that I am here.
You are very straight-laced whenever you're in the Heartland. Mm-hmm. I've witnessed this over the last few months. You're like a different, you're like 25% soldier at this point.
Yeah, I keep wandering into church on accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are they open there?
Abandoned
churches.
It's just abandoned churches, and I go, and I run out.
That's cool. I'm glad you do that. Mm-hmm. So, Problem Dog, episode 7, season 4, starts... Wait, no, I'm not going to go there because before we begin discussing the episode...
You can go any order. You can do whatever you want. Like that you took charge.
You do?
Yeah. You're swinging that dick around again.
I know. I've gotten very dick swingy in... I'm going to tell you what it is. I started taking a multivitamin and it's really helped. Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow. You're just getting more on the wagon. I'm coming off. I have not worked out or watched what I've eaten for like a whole week prepping for this move.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm probably going to have to like be in an apartment not doing anything for 2 weeks in the heart of Brooklyn.
Is that right?
Yeah, because of the quarantine.
I thought they had reduced some of that and that's not true.
I think so. I don't know. I should probably look that up.
I mean, I will happily let you stay in your apartment for as long as you like. I don't have any horse in this race, but I was just curious. I didn't want you to put unnecessary restrictions on yourself. But,
oh, okay. You know, well, thank you.
I just care about you. That's all.
As long as, you know, I can go out and see my beloved Brooklyn Nets play basketball.
Oh, you are a huge Nets fan.
I'm a huge Nets fan, sports guy in general. Hashtag Nets and Jets, my two teams.
But what about the Mets?
The Nets?
Or the Mets?
The, oh, yeah, yeah.
The Mets, Mets, and Jets.
Nets, Mets, Jets. My teams.
That's cool.
Yeah. They're very good. But no, did you, were you implying you wanted to go to a different place?
The Pander Dome?
Yeah, you wanted to go to the Pander Dome?
I kind of was thinking maybe we could just take a little dip our toe over into the...
Okay.
And then play the Pander Dome.
Yeah, and then I'll play the Pander Dome. Meg, in episode 9 of our podcast, we had first gotten just the little seedling of analytics, and I told you that our podcast listening demographic was 100% male.
Yes.
Meg, that's no longer true.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Our podcast is 19% female.
That's so, almost 20%.
So this episode's for the ladies.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I wonder, they must be tuning in for you because all the men are definitely tuning in for me, right? And,
yeah, probably. I think so. That's the feedback I get.
Yes? From who?
So, Meg, do you want to pander to the women or should I pander to the women?
Well,
there's a period joke in this episode, so I figured this would be a good group.
To pander, yeah, to the women? That makes sense. There's nothing women love more than period jokes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hank makes one.
Yes, he does. Hey, women, let's just start this off with a nice, easy pander. What about, Jesus, how do you pander to people? I have no idea. What about...
You just say like, you appreciate them.
Oh, okay.
Hey, women, I appreciate you. You did just hear audio of me yelling at my mom.
Women, we see you. We see you working those... jobs you get paid less money for. That's a bad pander. Why am I doing that?
You do. They work hard on those jobs and they're getting paid less for it.
And
on
we
average.
Don't like that. We don't appreciate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Except for Stephanie, who worked with me at my first part-time job at Prairie Life Fitness Center in Iowa. She was a bad coworker and she probably should have been paid less.
I don't know that you want to say that on air.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that on air. I'm going to definitely cut that out. She was just a bad coworker. I mean, I haven't talked to her in 10 years.
Oh, because of how bad of a coworker she was?
Yeah, that specifically, I went, I'll never speak to you. It's not because our lives are gradually drifting apart.
You made a very conscious decision to never speak to her again.
Did she ever try to speak to me again? Absolutely not. Did I give a fake name? I sure did.
You gave her a fake name.
I forgot this person's name and I made up the name Stephanie. But it was just, there's a coworker for my first job. She wasn't good.
Well, if she was that bad, you couldn't even... Ooh, wait, is she that bad that you couldn't commit her name to memory? Or was she that was she actually not that bad and unmemorable and you're just mad?
She was so bad when I agreed in my brain to never speak to her again, I, like, shat out her name from my brain like a turd.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There you go.
I feel like we turned this from pandering to women to the one man on this podcast yelling at a specific woman. So should probably hard turn away from that.
Okay, so what are some other things that are great about women? Oh,
we should talk about some great women.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh.
We lost a heavy hitter.
We lost a big one.
Yeah, we lost a. I scream cried in my car when I saw that with my kids in the backseat.
I don't know from your Facebook post.
Oh no.
Yeah. Because I don't check Facebook often, and so I don't get a lot of notifications. So that Zuckerberg. He concocted a way to still send me notifications, which is just people I seem to have a lot of engagement with when they post. It sends me like, hey, this person posted. Fun fact, that's how I found out my ex-girlfriend got a new boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
Facebook was like, hey, this person's in a relationship. And I went, sweet. but it said, Meg Ryan posted an article and it said, RBG dead. And I went, all right.
Well, I'm sorry to be your news source on that, but I guess, as good a source as any for me to just yell fuck over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I believe I shared the article.
That same article? I saw that you said, I'm sick to my stomach, and now, mm-hmm. now
I was sick.
We're...
Yeah.
Oh, God. So now this pander dome has turned into us just being talking about Facebook and being
other great
anxious.
Women. Julia Stiles.
Oh, yeah. Julia Stiles, a great woman.
We love her. Anna Gunn.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Anna Gunn. Great.
Julia Stiles is a guest starring in the fifth season of Dexter, and she's actually really good.
That's great.
I've had a crush on her for a long time. Sorry.
What's she doing these days? What's she up to?
I saw her at Hollywood Boulevard handing out DVD copies of the fifth season of Dexter, so not much.
Oh, that makes sense. Was she also in an Elmo costume?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
You just knew.
And she just kept yelling, "My greatest work!"
I was talking to a guy recently, and he says that Emma Watson is a great woman, and I tend to agree. So that guy was right about that one woman.
I like Emma Thompson.
Oh, Emma Thompson's great.
Emma Stone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Emma, the Jane Austen novel.
Emma Roberts.
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen.
The Bronte sisters. These are authors. J.K. Rowling
from
2019 and before.
You got it. No, I think she was even problematic in 2019.
I don't like her books that much, so I don't care. I have really no dog in that fight.
You gave up on him, huh?
You gave
them to me, so yes.
I did. I physically gave you my Harry Potter novels before she became problematic, because I was like, I think these kind of suck. And
really? They suck to you?
Yeah, I must have just had my finger to the headwind.
Oh. Well, I don't think the books suck, and I like the characters in the story, but I am unhappy with J.K. Rowling. Again, it feels like we're not doing a good job pandering.
Yeah, we are. Keep bringing up our we're really...
Okay.
We have an axe to grind to the wind. Are we a sexist podcast?
I think we might be a sexist podcast.
Yeah.
Which I have to sit with this and really look deeply inside myself, because this is kind of not great for my whole brand.
Yeah, for me,
lady.
I mean, men being bad at being nice to women, I mean, par for the course.
For sure.
Not really a faceplant, kind of just history being history. But you.
Yeah, this
like,
is.
You're really Kellyanne Conwaying right now.
I gotta chill out. Okay, so let's. Oh, Kellyanne Conway is a bad woman.
She's a bad woman. We don't like her.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't like her.
Sarah Sanders, don't like her.
Yes. But we do like Michelle Obama.
Yeah, she's nice.
We like somebody's number one crush, Kamala Harris.
She is a big crush of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gal Gadot is probably my number one actual crush.
Oh my God, she's perfect. That makes sense.
Or Journey Smollett. I like her.
I don't know who that is, but
she's on Lovecraft Country. She's gorgeous.
Oh, is she beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful
is she
lady.
The gorgeous queen of the famous stars?
Mm-hmm. But we should probably talk. Just the last woman we should probably shout out, the ultimate hottie, mid-2000s Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, yeah. The perfect woman, you mean?
The perfect woman, yeah.
Oh,
kind of embodies everything. I like to think she's part of this 19%.
She probably is. It got back to her that we both want to give her kisses, and now she's doing her due diligence to see who would give her kisses, who she would prefer to kiss.
Ooh, I hope I'm winning.
I hope you are too, because I wouldn't really know what to do with a Catherine Zeta-Jones kiss. I would like relive it constantly forever. I don't think I'd ever sleep again.
Mm-hmm. I'd put it in a treasure chest, even though it's just a concept.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, women, listen, we kind of face planted here, but
we're sorry. We'll try again another time.
Yeah. Maybe bump those numbers from 19% to another one. We'll repander.
Yeah, women, you're going to have to earn this if you want another pander.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, out of the Pander Dome and back to the Boys Club.
Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome!
All right, okay, wow, that was hard. The hold up is pretty quick to talk about here. Jesse plays a game.
Yeah, and he's just shooting the hell out of monsters. And I didn't think the lights that were flashing in the background were related to the game. It seemed like they were coming from behind the television. So I don't know if he just had like a discotheque ball in the background, but I had a real problem with the light thing.
Yeah, I did look up this video game is called Rage.
Okay.
And it came out the year this episode aired, meaning the timeline of the show, it's an anachronism.
Oh, it exists outside the... Oh, what were they thinking? So it came out in 2013 when it's supposed to be like 2007.
2011 is when this episode aired.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, that's they really messed up there.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just give up on the podcast? Yeah, I like that. That's...
This is kind of bad.
Yeah, that can't believe.
But we the only really thing of note is we see he's also this game apparently never had you never shot it with a little plastic gun. It's just a game you play with a controller, not like a fucking toddler.
So they took a lot of liberties with this game, and they just assumed that most of their viewing audience wouldn't know what the hell was going on.
Apparently, the game was in development at the time, and like they worked with the game people
to have that 30-second spot.
Yeah, and then in the game, apparently, there's some subtle Breaking Bad references.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kind of fun.
All right, that's fun. Yeah.
But you see flashes of something else while he's playing, and I want to ask you about that. I don't want to be too heavy-handed there.
So I just imagine that those were flashes of him killing Gale.
Now, what do you know about him killing Gale? Because I don't remember what you know.
All I know is that he killed Gale, and that...
You do know that, for sure?
Well, I know that Gale has been killed. I know that... Yeah. I feel like that they've said... I feel like Hank has said that Jesse killed Gale, but I'm trying to remember the exact quote, and I can't. But we know that he's a murderer, because I know Hank has told him... Has said, oh, Jesse's a murderer. And so this...
Oh, right. He would have said that... Yeah, Jesse would... If Jesse did, in fact, kill Gale, he would have told Hank during his big tattle session.
Yeah, and I didn't think it would be the cartel guy that he killed. I think it would have been somebody that they knew. Because they're talking about the Gale Bedeker investigation, right?
Right, okay. That makes sense.
So
I keep forgetting you've seen every episode after this.
That's the whole point of this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I know.
It was your idea.
Yeah, I know. I fucked up. It's a bad idea for a podcast.
No, it's a great idea for a podcast. It's the best. It's as good as any other idea for a podcast, period.
So good that someone else did it. Okay.
Before us, but we still.
Yeah, we did it better. Fuck you, other Breaking Backwards.
Come fight us. Come fight us.
Someone listened, a coworker of mine listened to the last episode, or not last, an earlier episode where we just briefly mentioned the other Breaking Backwards, and he texted, he's like, what's the other Breaking Backwards? And I was like, oh, this does probably sound weird if you haven't heard us introduce that there was another podcast, but fuck it. Yeah, they suck. I don't want to talk about them any more than
is necessary.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Guys, sorry. My brain, usually Meg's the Ty Ty one, and she probably still is, but it's very early for both of us right now.
To be doing this podcast. It's been
What time is it? It's like 11 a.m. there, right? We started at 9 a.m.?
Yeah. Yeah, and then I had to take a phone call.
Yeah.
But now we're here.
It was your parole officer.
Yeah, I left county lines when I wasn't supposed to, so.
Fun fact, Meg's on parole.
Yeah.
Bet you didn't know that.
I
put it in the Breaking Backwards wiki.
Mm-hmm. I stole a bunch of cosmetics, but anyhow.
Yeah, you steal shit. It's weird.
I love stealing things.
I don't bring valuables to your house.
That makes sense, because I would just take them. And you would say, give me back my things. I'd go, I don't have them. Very cool.
Yeah. I don't call you a kleptomaniac, but I do call you a klepto-jerk.
Oh, you could call me kleptomagiac. I think that would
be. You're a kleptomagiac.
Okay, so that's the end of the cold open, essentially.
Yeah, he plays a fucking video game, and that's it.
And he has some flashes of Gale's face getting killed, and you can tell it's really messing with him.
And then you could tell it looks like there's some visual metaphor of he's the game. He dies in the game, and he can choose restart or end game, and he chooses restart. He's a new Jesse.
So you always say, you have said in the past that, you know, Jesse is plucky and carefree, but clearly that is not true of this, because he's been haunted by this murder that he committed for a long time. And I'm just looking forward to getting to a place with Jesse where he truly is the most chilled out version of himself, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, he's a different boy. I mean, you've seen the pilot, or do you just not remember it at all?
I feel like...
I guess it's been years and years and
years.
Yeah,
it's been years and years, and I feel like I just thought he was annoying. I thought that main character was annoying in the pilot. So that's my general... I don't think he's very annoying anymore.
Now he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then we open up, oh, at the car wash, and Skylar and Walter are talking about a very cool car that appears to be a Dodge Challenger. And I knew that just from looking at it.
That's not something you had to look up at all?
Yeah, that's just, I went,
that's just in there.
My car senses are tingling, and I sniffed my monitor, and I went, Dodge Challenger.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. Well, it only had 17 miles on it, and they only had it for 48 hours, and guess what? They have to give it back, because I don't know why, what the reasoning was, but that's why Walter Jr. Flynn is such a angry little shit when he gets a new car later on. And that's too bad.
Confession of the two cars. I think I prefer the PT Cruiser.
I will agree. I think I would like the PT Cruiser better. I think that if I was a passenger in a Challenger, I have really bad motion sickness. There's no chance that I wouldn't get sick if, like, every time you press the gas pedal down, you just erupt like a rocket, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is the Challenger a stick shift?
I guess it would depend. I'm sure they also have both versions of it.
Oh, you get to choose that when you go to the store?
Yeah, they have both versions.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Do they have both? They have to build that into the... This is stupid. They have to build that into the car. They can't just be like, do you want automatic or stick shift, and then go to the car and like change it there. It's not like,
right. So it's built to be automatic or manual. Yeah.
I feel stupid.
No, don't feel stupid.
I feel dumb.
My dad drove stick shift for a long time, and now all they have is automatics. And I recently had to almost buy a car, and they were trying to sell me on a stick shift, and I was like, "Are you fucking mad, sir?"
Meg's probably my only friend who, if I said, like, I feel stupid, I feel dumb, Meg would be like, yeah, that was a fucking dumb thing to say. And I go back and forth on whether that's helpful or not, because she's just supportive. And
you want me to call it out more?
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I need that. Maybe I get off too easy, and is it making me my worst self?
So you would like me to call you on things more? Because that just seems harsh. You're my friend. I want to be supportive.
That's true.
I don't think it's dumb to not know. Like,
that's true.
Stick shift's pretty esoteric. I don't think it's dumb not to know like how you get a stick shift. But
so like my best friend, his name's Austin. He lives in South Carolina. We've talked about him. If I say anything, or if he says anything, it's just down their throat. Like, oh, you dumbest person ever. Are you serious? Did you graduate? And I don't know if that's helpful or if that's harmful.
I find that the only time I'm like that is with guys I'm dating, and it probably is to my detriment.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Like, I'm out on a date with somebody, and then, like, they do something to fuck up, I'll be like, oh, look, you just dropped your shit all over the ground. And then I'm like, oh, that's probably not, like, the whole thing they want out of a date, like, for potential romantic interest, like, to get called out by a lady who's, like, interested in them, you know?
Yeah, and maybe it's just I'm the type of person, like, the word dipshit just flows out of my mouth. So, I don't know. Sorry to really zoom in on that interpersonal moment between two good friends. I just, I wanted to crack it open.
Well, please let me.
I want you to be you. I don't need you. I'm just trying to just be like, okay, that's an interesting observation. My two best friends, they're just completely different types of friendships.
Well, I think you need that. I think you need to know where you're safe, you know, to not know things. I don't know lots of things. I don't know anything. I'm just some lady who like coexists with like Dippin' Dots. Like, who am I to fucking judge anybody?
Well, so like, okay, example, like this friend in South Carolina, when I told him I had started taking Zoloft for depression, he makes fun of me for that a lot.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, he'll be like, oh, you need your drugs or else you can't be happy, idiot. And I kind of do enjoy that. And I don't know why, but Meg would never say that.
No, I would be like, oh, good for you for taking care of yourself.
It's just different.
Which one
it's
do you enjoy different. Better? Or do you like having a balance, I guess?
I think I like having them both.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But sometimes I do feel like I'm like, I should have been called out on that.
If you ever drop your shit all over the ground, I'll go, good job, dipshit. You dropped your shit all over the ground. And then okay, you can deal. Tell me how it feels and if I should okay. do that to men I'm on dates with. But
men on dates with, I don't think that's a good idea.
I know. Well, I don't call them dipshit. Dates. I just say like, oh, did you look at that? You tried to pull the door. It's a push or something like that.
Butterfingers, idiot, or like that, or
not like no, just kind of like a very deadpan statement of what just happened in a way to make them recognize it. And I don't know, I'm not really capable of, I don't know. It's such a weird dynamic. You want to like assert a little bit of your own gravitas in the situation, and for me, that's being antagonistic. What can I say?
Nice.
I don't know if it works. Maybe that's why I'm single. I'm not sure.
No, yeah. Wow, we really just. Bro, that was good. That was good.
That's good.
That was what the listeners want.
Yeah, they wanted to hear about that. So anyways,
I hope this is your first episode you're trying out, listener. Your first one.
So we've got a car going back to the dealership and it's getting washed, and it was just gonna be like an $800 restocking fee, but instead, and Walt acts like a real baby about having to tip the guy who wash the car, and I don't understand why. That's kind of a dickhead thing. Like, why are you being so stingy, Walt?
I mean, I have problems with tipping. I don't blame any one worker for it. I have a problem with the idea of it.
You think that people... No, you don't, because you used to be
a
server.
No, I think they should just pay people more.
Yeah, okay. So you think that they should all just get paid like a Europe situation where you don't use gratuity. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, you should pay people more. And, like, if there is, a tip... In Europe, it's like, you only tip if, like, they really... You shouldn't expect a tip. That makes sense. It's a tip.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Pay servers more.
I agree that the servers should make a livable wage. But, you know, it seems interesting that Walt, who later has 200-something K hidden in soda cans, has a problem, like, sparing $3 for this guy who just detailed his car, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, then he does a bunch of donuts, and he crashes it, and he blows it up.
Why?
Because he can. I think he's got a little bit of fuck you money maybe for the first time. And he's just like,
why did he act that way about a restocking fee of $800? And why are they returning the car anyways?
That you'll find out.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. I've got to get past this part of me. It still flares up from time to time. We're like, why?
No, I get you. I mean, it's like when you, if you were just watching an episode in the middle of a show and you hadn't seen the stuff before that, and I was just watching it and you're like, well, why do you do that? I'd be like, oh, last episode, this happened. But I very specifically can't do that.
Very true. Okay, so he does donuts. He gets his car kind of seesawed over a curb, and he blows it up, and he calls a cab. And then we see him in Saul's office, and we find out that his joyride cost him $52,000. Is that right?
Yeah, I feel like he's just like the kind of guy who the dollar amount doesn't matter, but like on his own terms is what matters.
I would care about the $52,000, you know?
Yeah.
I would be more upset. Like, I could have saved myself $51,200 had I just turned the... I think I said this to you in the chat, like, every problem he had within the first 2 minutes of that episode is basically because he's a boy, because no woman is going to go take a car, do donuts in a random parking lot off the side of the freeway, get it stuck, then choose to blow it up. Like, that's just not how anything works. Like, that's just not a practical way to be.
Hey, whoa, Meg, we're out of the pander dome. We don't need to keep pandering to women right now.
Women were more sensible than this man.
Yeah, well, then his, speaking of $50,000, then the next scene, he literally drops up to $274,000, which he makes every 2 weeks, to Skylar in some soda cans.
And she's like, hey, this is a lot of money. And he's kind of an asshole to her about just this very, like, this statement of, like, I don't know how I'm going to launder all this money for you. And he's like, do you want, what's the problem here? Like, I don't know. I didn't like his tone with her, to say the very least.
It sounds like he wasn't pandering to women.
I was just thinking that very same thing. It seemed like he doesn't know how to pander to women. And maybe his life would be easier if he did.
Yeah. If all he would have had to do is say, maybe be like, babe, and like wrap his arms around her waist, be like, what if we go to Cabo with some of this?
Yeah, why couldn't he just say, like, we'll figure it out together. I value your input. Thank you for joining me on this journey. Because he even says, like, tell me if you want in or out on this, like, or something to that degree. And she's like, I never wanted any of this. You made this happen.
Yeah. So I guess... I don't know. kind of sucks.
Yeah, he's like a real grump ass, I think, is what I'd call him.
He should wear diapers because he's a baby.
Oh, yes, he should. That's a good point. And he probably needs his baba.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever acting like a baby, something I do when people like baby, I go, wham, wham, and it upsets them. So if you ever want to do that, if I ever act like a baby, like, I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll wham at you if you're acting like a whiny little baby. That makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. What else happens in this fucking episode? Oh, Hank goes and eats at the chicken restaurant and,
Oh, yeah, and Gus comes over and he's like, hey, good to see you. You're looking fit. And how are your parents? And all this stuff. I've never seen Hank be a uncle to Junior. And so that, I don't have that type of relationship with any of my aunts and uncles where they would ever take me to lunch and, like, sit and chew the fat with me or anything. Do you have that?
Yeah, but if they were in town, I never grew up with that many aunts and uncles in town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if they were visiting, they would.
Yeah, I just never had, I don't think I've ever had a one-on-one meal with, like, any of my aunts or uncles. So.
I have, yeah. It's like, you know, you don't have a whole lot to talk about. You're like, so, what was it like being brother to my mom? And then they're like, it's pretty good. And then you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to get onion rings?
And then you quietly eat onion rings and stare into each other's eyes awkwardly?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep. And then you aggressively don't talk about politics. That's how it works.
That makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hank gets he gets Gus's fingerprints.
Yes, he does. He's very sneaky. Because he's so frail, he uses that to his advantage and gets Gus to refill the soda machine. I refill his soda at the machine. And there you go. He's got his fingerprints.
Yeah. And Saul tells Jesse... Or no, Saul tells Walt... that Jesse saw Gus recently, and then Walt goes to Jesse's house and Jesse's painting his walls. And he's like, you saw him? He's like, yeah, he had me run backup for a thing.
Yeah, I think I need more clarity on, there's a component here that I'm missing about whatever happened a month ago where Gus wanted to kill Jesse and Walt together. I don't know what metamorphosis happened, but... seems interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some stuff happened. Some stuff went down.
Sounds like it.
These next six episodes that are the beginning of the season, they're not just twiddling their thumbs.
Oh, it's action-packed and heavy.
Oh yeah. There's five machine guns in each episode.
Five? Mm-hmm. Do they fire each one time and go, there we go. Very good. That was nice.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. And then we're done.
There's one episode where there's a clown that juggles five machine guns.
That sounds wild.
It's very fun.
Okay, so after that scene, where do we go next?
He like kind of manipulates Jesse to be like, yeah, you should want him dead, shouldn't you? If it sounds like you're near him.
Yes, yeah.
And then
I found out about Andrea having a little brother in addition to a son, and I said, whoa, what? So I'm guessing that guy is dead because I don't know anything about Andrea's little brother after this point, so...
Yep. You know that there's been talk of Gus maybe putting kids in danger.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
This is the first you've heard of Andrea had a little brother that maybe isn't around anymore, and maybe because of Gus. And that's all I'll say.
That's... Yep, thank you for connecting the dots there for me.
So Jesse agrees, and Walt goes to the little oven in the lab and makes a petri dish of ricin.
Yes, he does. And I was surprised at how under surveillance he actually was that entire time. The fact that the camera was following him the entire, like, with every step he made, that was, Gus, how do you do anything else besides monitor this man?
That Walt, he's a wily fella. Mm. I frankly don't like the cut of his jib, so you get the instinct to watch him.
Gus was like, I gotta keep my eye on this guy, because he's probably gonna try to kill me, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was an easy bake oven in there. That was absolutely an easy bake oven.
It was, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cute.
That's canon.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was like a little toaster oven, I think.
Oh, okay. You said easy bake, and I just took your word for it.
Because easy bake's a toy, right?
Well, it still bakes.
It doesn't actually get hot. Does it actually get hot?
Yeah, it absolutely makes, like, baked dishes.
I don't know if they still do this with children's toys, but they pretty heavily gendered them when I was young, and that was, like, a girl toy. And
yes.
Do they still do that with their advertisements? You probably see more kids' ads than I do.
Yeah, I mean, there are still things that appeal just to girls and just to boys, but the Easy Bake Oven, I think, is gender neutral now. But I understand
good.
That it was, like, they
I
had, like, the creepy
one.
Crawlers ones for the boys.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I got an Easy Bake, but it wasn't an oven, which is why I didn't know they got hot. It was one that made ice cream.
Oh, yeah, I got my daughter one of those.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You had to get half and half, and I was like, I don't know what that is. And I don't have a credit card, Mom.
I got an ex-boyfriend of mine in high school a cotton candy machine, which was absolutely a girl's toy, but it made legit cotton candy, which was kind of cool.
Yum.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was for Christmas, I think, one year.
The worst offender was probably at McDonald's, where sometimes their Happy Meal toys would be like, if you're a boy, you get this, and if you're a girl, you get this.
Yeah, I dislike that. I always would ask for the boy toys. I would say that, I'd say, Mommy, can I have the boy toys? And not realizing there was another meaning to the phrase boy toys.
I would always be like, try to get the girl toy and then be like, the fuck, man? Them fucking girl? And then like really
start
run
a
at
fight?
Him.
Yeah,
I'd start a fight. And I'm 6 at the time, keep in mind. So.
Yeah, well, you seemed like a real cocky 6-year-old kid, so.
I was shredded when I was 6.
You were just fucking ripped?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out.
Yep. And then I'd make a big show about how manly I was to the entire store.
What? Do something.
Mm-hmm. What? Knock a lot of drinks out of hands.
You were just looking for confrontation, which rings true for you today still.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, lots of fights.
Lots of fights. Okay, so then I'm completely lost on what we're talking about. I know we just were at Jesse's house. Why was he painting the walls? Is there any explanation for that?
Actually, there is, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and then so he's like, I'll kill him. That's fine. And then it cuts to Mike driving Jesse to a meeting.
Yes.
And Mike gives out Jesse's like, what are we doing at this meeting? And then Mike grunts.
Yes, and that was a grunt you really savored there.
I rewound it and we watched it 3 times.
Yeah.
And no, I really like it. Jesse's like, what's this meet? What are we doing here? And he's like, just be quiet.
That's how I react to all things all the time. Just an indiscriminate grunt whenever shit goes down. What can I say?
Yeah. And then Mr. Sniperman from the next episode is there to not negotiate.
Just be a real cocky bastard, yeah. I was sad nobody opened Jesse's veggie tray, which I thought was kind of a...
Yeah, I think... So Gus is trying to, like, get out from under the cartel's thumb and be his own entity.
Yes.
And clearly the cartel ain't cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gus thought, like, it was a big meeting, but they just kind of sent this little plebe.
Yeah.
To do it, which is its own message. And there's a big scene where Jesse's making coffee for everyone. He's like, I could put this poison in there. And we know he doesn't do it, but immediately while he's thinking, oh, what if I just did this way to kill these people? Mike just gives him a gun.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
I think, you know, with the last scene and with this scene, I've only ever seen Mike kill a guy that was trying to kill him. I've never really seen, and then I've also seen him, you know, fight his way out of the cartel, but I haven't seen him, the fact that people are afraid of this old man who loves his granddaughter blows me away. You know?
Let me try to think. Well, he was very much gonna kill Lydia until Walt stopped him. Or Jeff, I guess.
Yeah, true.
And then, let me think. Who have you seen him kill besides like, the cartel people in Saloon?
I saw him kill the guy who, the hitman that was meant to kill him, that killed his, former compatriot. I don't really know. And besides that, he tried to kill Lydia a couple times, too.
Well, he stopped himself the one time and then was stopped the other time. They kind of have a Looney Tunes relationship.
Well, they are fucking on the side, right?
Yeah, they're also fucking on the side. yeah, oh, and then later on, Jesse's like, they're driving home, and he's like, Mike, what was that? Where were we? And Mike's like, you got loyalty, but maybe for the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
So.
Right.
Yeah, no, it seems like he's, I think that Jesse needs to be loyal to himself first. Maybe that's what the problem is. Because it doesn't seem like Gus is a person you necessarily want to be loyal to either.
Yeah, that's actually a good read, because then Jesse tries to take care of himself by going to a meeting.
Oh, he does. That's a good segue. Yeah. Very good.
No, I thought that was thematically segued by you.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so he goes to the meeting. And we see this, I don't know, that guy looks pretty familiar. Is he in other episodes? I have to imagine that.
Yeah, he's in other episodes later, so I'm not mentioning his fucking name.
That's fair. He's like, oh, it's good to see you. Come on in. They're at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Jesse's kind of besides himself. You can tell, like, he's been triggered, to say the least.
Yeah.
And Jesse talks about putting down a dog, which I think was Gail. And how he had to kill the guy and how it happened out of nowhere and how confused and scared. And then he was just dead. And people are like, what do you mean you killed a dog? What the fuck? For no reason? That's screwed up. And then he kind of loses his patience with everybody giving him a hard time. And also that just the fact that he has to just accept that he did it and forgive himself, I think, is also something he's not great at understanding, which I get. Like, kind of tortured logic.
He just, full to burst, almost says, the dog's a metaphor! you don't know, he could actually kill a dog later on purpose. I doubt it, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about Gail.
Yeah.
And maybe he kills Gail and then a dog. I don't know.
he's not shook up about Gail at all, just the dog.
Yeah, he's like, the dog was so cute.
I did look up this guy at the group later. God damn it, he's on a lot of TV.
Yeah, he seemed really familiar. He looked really
familiar. Yeah, he's in every show you've ever seen, and he's also been divorced a lot.
Oh, how many wives does he have?
He's had three wives, but each one's divorced. One divorced pretty recently, and I guess the first marriage was pretty long. The first marriage was, what, 15 years? Then 2 years, so that was just a squeaker.
Yeah.
And then the next one was... and then his one wife, who has a Wikipedia page, has also been divorced 3 times.
It just, you got to be careful in this industry, man. Mm-hmm. Divorces are very common.
Looks like she's an actress who's also on every TV show, so I can see why they got along. and then he says he was trying to sell all those people meth. And they were like, what? That's the last thing we want.
Sir, please don't. Mm-hmm. And then he just... gets up and he leaves, and everybody's like, what the hell was that asshole's problem? Mm-hmm. Just really shook up by him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they all were like, so Richard, I guess you're next. Do you want to talk about your week?
Yeah. How do you continue a Narcotics Anonymous meeting after a big blow up, like right out the gate? Does that just set everybody else up to be dramatic, you know?
Oh, and then he mentioned what the group leader did to his daughter, which just kind of drops out of nowhere.
Yeah, he backed over his daughter. And I was like, fuck. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Tragic.
Sounds awful. Yeah. It made me feel good about not being on narcotics and never hurting my children. Like, I was like, oh, that's good. I'm doing okay than this fictitious character in this show. Like,
it triggered my natural, I'm not afraid of kids. I'm afraid of how fragile kids are, especially ages 0 to 2.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like I have a niece now, and I'll hold her, but I am like, oh god, this will break.
I was always afraid of. Actually, like, this is a fun story. Right after I gave birth to my daughter, they tried to hand her to me, and I just yelled, "I haven't held a baby before!" And they were like, "Okay," and I took the baby, and I just did having a baby, like post having the baby stuff to the baby. I always was like terrified of carrying the baby downstairs. Just the things the baby needs, they're very difficult. I will say my daughter was, after about around age two, was just like a little tank who is just, and she's still very strong. And so she felt less fragile. She felt less, like you couldn't hurt her as easy.
I feel like from age two on, you can shove them and they'll be fine. I mean, you don't shove them, but like you could.
Yeah, man. They're so strong, these little babies.
They're strong, especially me at six.
Yeah, well, because you were so jacked.
I was jacked. I was taking supplements that were not illegal. Or that were illegal.
Oh, good. Well, as long as they were illegal. So we were, when do we get to Hank's period joke? Because I really want to talk about that.
I think it's next.
Okay.
Because, he does that group leader thing. And then the group leader finally is like, I don't think I like you, Jesse. And then Jesse leaves. And then Marie takes Hank to the DEA, where he's going to give a little presentation.
Yeah, he's going to talk to the ASAC, and he sees Steve Gomez. And I think I was talking to you. Yeah, I know I was talking to you about the fact that out of all the deaths of all the characters, I think Steve Gomez is the one that's bothered me the most. The fact that he gets killed, and I don't know, he just seems like the most good out of all the characters. There's no real bad about him. He's not, you know, as deceitful as other DEA agents. He seems to just want to be a good partner to Hank, and the fact that he gets killed makes me sad.
Yeah, I will say he does go along with some of Hank's extra legal schemes near the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
And is fine with them, like tricking Huel. And
that's true, but I guess it just seems like
it's all Hank's idea. He's just like, what's the thing? Like, what we have to fear is not evil men, but good men who stand by and do nothing.
He's complicit, I guess.
Yeah, I think a little complicit in bad police work.
That's fair. I just feel like, you know, he seems the most reliably just like wants to do a good job. I like this character. I don't think he's, I don't see him killing anyone. I don't see him smuggling drugs. I don't see him putting children at risk. I see him like just trying to do his job. I described him as neutral good, whereas I consider Jesse like chaotic good.
Is that a Dungeons and Dragons thing? Because I hear this all the time, that little square.
I'm not trying to reference Dungeons and Dragons, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, it's... In neutral good's just like the goodest, right?
No, it's good, but without a purpose, I think. The true good is the best. You could be true good.
Was like Walt Jr. true good?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, he's the most without, I don't know. Somebody's going to listen to this and say, you've completely misinterpreted that. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, let me say something to that listener right now. Fuck you. I want to keep talking.
I think true good would be, Junior, and Skyler maybe is like chaotic neutral, you know what I mean? But then again, whereas Walt is like, Walter Gus would be true evil, you know?
Okay, what would, sorry, we'll get off this. What would Saul be?
Oh, I think he's self-serving, but he's doing a job. I don't know. Would he be a chaotic neutral or, I don't know.
Okay, so I just Googled just Hank, Breaking Bad, Chaotic Good. And from D&D.
Okay.
So that's what, and there's a bajillion little different images with the square. And they, like, let's say, let me pull this one up. We got, and this is just one of a bajillion I found. They got Gomez is lawful good.
Okay, so lawful good, yeah.
They have Hank as neutral good.
Okay.
Which... They have Jesse as chaotic good.
Okay.
They have Skylar's chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
They have Saul as lawful neutral.
Okay.
They have Mike as true neutral.
Mike is true neutral. Okay.
They don't even have Walt on here. They have Gus as lawful evil, a character you've not met as neutral evil, and then Jack the Nazi as chaotic evil.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait, here's a better one. Sorry. But they have Walt as neutral evil.
I think
Does that make sense?
I think that makes sense. I didn't go to college for this or anything. So.
It looks like you went to college for science. We all know that.
No, it wasn't science. Adam.
it looks like most of these are different, but they have Hank as lawful good. Or no, they have Saul as lawful neutral, Gus as lawful evil, and Walt as neutral evil in most of them. Mm-hmm. That's it. Sorry, we're done.
Okay.
Sorry, and that listener who fucking corrected Meg on this episode, of all episodes, you're going to do that? Fuck you.
Because this
so,
is...
sorry.
No, thank you.
Getting out ahead of that.
Thank you for calling that person out for me, because that was very necessary, so I appreciate it.
That person's a dick. Okay. Yeah. Well, Hank makes a fucking period joke.
Yes, he goes something about periods. But what was the actual joke? Gomez got his first period when he actually got a promotion.
Yeah, like, oh, what'd you get, period? And, implying that being a woman is bad.
So we talked about whether or not we'd ever like Hank in real life. Maybe, and we agreed that maybe it would be difficult, but maybe he was saying like, oh, what a time for celebration. You got your menstrual cycle. You're finally a woman now. Oh, but yeah.
He knows that Gomez won't ever have a period.
That's true.
He knows that.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't, then he's maybe not a good police officer.
Because he doesn't know how men and women work. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right. So he's a bad guy and we're mad at him now. But then he says dingus.
He seems like good at like being a detective, but like, interpersonally, as like a friend, I would not want to hang out with him.
Yeah, fair.
He seems annoying.
he seems kind of like one of those guys who never grew up from his hometown. Like, you know, was a big athlete in high school and like just never fucking grew up.
But is really good at one specific thing, and so therefore has money. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I think. I don't know. Period jokes. Like they let him die with the 90s. They're unless women are making them from experience, in which case,
let the women make the period jokes.
Actually, there's a podcast. It is a science podcast. I've listened to a few episodes. It's really interesting. It's called Period, and it is a podcast about the menstrual cycle, and it's fascinating.
That's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cute that the logo is period, and then there's a period at the end of the title.
Mm.
And then the overlaid is a big red dot.
Makes sense.
Maybe too cute by half, but the content's good.
What entices a man to listen to a podcast about the menstrual cycle?
Because it's like this huge stressful thing that I don't have to deal with at all. And it's like, that's crazy that somebody, like, you have to buy stuff for it.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, I don't know, monitor it. Like, and it's just this huge part. And it's just like, I don't have to deal with it.
I think it's why women are good at multitasking and men traditionally not so much.
I'm very much not. Yeah. And this pandemic has brought out the worst of my habits. I've been playing way too much Mario while I work.
Well, don't say that on air.
My numbers are still fine, but like my brain is like scrambled eggs at the end of the day.
That's fair.
From too much stimulation.
Yeah.
They just released the first 3D Mario games back on Switch, Meg. I have to play them.
No, you got to do that. I can't get in the way of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mario 64. It's so good. It's so fun. It's too much fun.
Mario 64 was a fun as hell game. That's
and now cool. I'm playing Mario Sunshine and like that. They haven't played that since 2002 and I'm just having a ball of a time.
I wasn't a Mario person growing up, but it sounds like
a
blast.
Video game console growing up? Like, did you have a PlayStation or anything? Or
I had a PlayStation and a PlayStation 2 eventually and a PlayStation 3 eventually. And I will say they re-released Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. And I've been playing some of that, and that's been very rewarding.
That's cool.
I've missed that a lot. Yeah.
They might release that on Switch later, and I'll probably pick that up then. I think, you know, a friend of mine who you've met, he's in a cover band that only does songs from the Tony Hawk games.
Oh, I can't place this friend, but that sounds amazing.
Oh, we saw, it's my friend Nick. You saw Ad Astra with him?
Oh, yeah. I saw, of course, Ad Astra.
It's called Downhill Jam. Go look him up, guys.
Nick, I need to know more about you, about your life.
He's the drummer for a band called the Downhill Jam. They do Tony Hawk covers. And they've met Tony Hawk as a band, which is fun.
Oh, that's cool. Right.
Yeah, they've played like at a few events where like they're skateboarding and then they made a music video out of that footage, which is pretty cool. Like they're obviously market for it. And then perfect when the band formed, like a year later, they re-released the first two games.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
So right couldn't have been better. Yeah. Good games.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cheat codes. But anyway, all right. The last bit of business is Hank lays out how he's suspicious of Gus because he lays out all the shit we've seen with Madrigal having a big air conditioner that was sold and Gail picked it up and Gus's fingerprint was found at Gail's.
He was very like shy about sharing that. He was very much like, boom, full house. Like he laid his cards down, like top this mother effer.
He's a showman.
He really is. The greatest, one would say. And
fuck. Which means I'll never be.
No, you have to have goals, my friend.
I can't be the greatest showman if there's another greater showman.
Well, you've never even tried to be a showman. So I feel like you could attempt it, you know?
Oh, fair.
And so, yeah, he connects all the dots for everybody. And that's how we get to the scene we get next episode where they bring mm-hmm. him in. But besides that, what else happens?
That's it. It ends. Executive producer, Vince Gilligan.
Oh, it does? It ends on his fingerprints?
Yeah. He's like, why is it doing there? And then like it literally. Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah, it ends.
Okay.
It ends. It's over.
Okay. Yes. All right. So.
They stop filming the episode. It's done.
Yes. Okay, great. So we are, where are we? What are we up to now? We're going to talk about what?
I don't know. What we can talk about your grade. We can talk about the underpies. This one's loosey-goosey. We can talk about whatever we want.
We've had a string of loosey-gooseys lately. It's been.
That's fine. Bug's my favorite episode we've ever done.
That is a pretty fun one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I had to give this one a grade, let me really noodle on this. I think this one isn't very action heavy, and it's pretty dramatic. So I would put this in a B+ category, and it's not a bit. Yeah. And I'm just telling you what I set stuff up.
I stopped even pursuing the bit. I just am like, I let you spin your wheels every time you give the grade and just kind of sit here. There was an explosion.
Oh, fuck. There was an explosion. So that was pretty fun, but I was annoyed at why the explosion happened.
True. True.
Which every time Walt is involved with anything, I seem to get pretty annoyed.
Yeah, he's a not cool.
Yeah.
And unlike when you're viewing this in chronological order, you're not aware of like the really bad shit he does later on.
Yes. So, yeah.
Fucking you all went a whole episode without barking. Now, okay. All right. This is the last episode with dogs in the room, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, well, unless, are you taking any with you?
No, I'm not. The one I really want to take, they won't let me. And the one I don't want to take, they're trying to pawn off on me.
Are you serious? That's so funny. You need a dog, Adam.
I like the one that they're trying to pawn off on me, but she's a little harder to deal with, and I maybe want to be there for like a little while before I take a fucking dog.
That makes sense.
The one I want to take is very easy to take care of. I can take right now, but they will not let me because they love her too much.
Well, she sounds like, they all sound like good boys and girls, so.
Yeah, there's just one boy.
Well, okay, sorry.
Real. Oh, I should have pandered to you all, ladies. They're all just, they're literally forming a dog ring around my chair.
I want to see.
It's very cute. But, okay, before you see any of that, should we talk about some heroes?
We should talk about the heroes.
Mm-hmm. Without these people, they get their script and they're like, oh, I only have half a page of stuff to say.
Mm.
But that's okay. They flew out to Albuquerque. They took their $80 or whatever. And
800, probably.
800, probably? Okay,
maybe
sorry,
grand, I'm
thinking of,
yeah.
Thinking of extra work, which is, you know, about 80 if you're not SAG.
True.
And they said, that's okay, because I make this world feel more lived in.
And that's my goal. Yeah.
There's only two.
Okay.
Here. And they're both in the same scene, which I think you can guess is the NA scene.
Oh, yeah, because they're Meth Man and Meth Lady. Is that their character?
Meth Man and Meth Lady. Well, one of them has a name and the other one doesn't.
Was it the Meth Man or the Meth Lady?
The Meth Lady has a name because she kind of has a little more to say. We're probably stretching on what an under five is, but her name is Fran Martone.
Fran.
And she plays Colleen.
Oh, and she's the one who's like, tell me more about this dog you killed.
And she's been in a bunch of shit. She's, actually, no, she kind of stopped acting.
Oh,
so
great.
Possibly local hire. Who knows?
She seemed like she looked like she was from Albuquerque. She just had those Albuquerque vibes to me.
Yeah, she's in a lot of TV movies and she's in Manhattan as a secretary. That's her newest one. She was in The Sixth Gun as a hanged crone. So it looks like she played a corpse. That's pretty cool.
Mm.
And then she's in something called Tiger Eyes as saleswoman.
So she's not getting all up in people's business generally.
No, her last role was 2014.
Okay.
So.
Well.
Yeah, she's probably just chilling in Albuquerque. I don't know.
Doing her thing, for sure.
Doing her thing. The next guy was the Meth Man. I don't know if you remember him, but he was a burly, white-haired, Santa-looking guy.
Yeah, he kind of had, like, big trucker vibes to me, or Harley Davidson.
Yeah, he literally had one line. He is who this segment was built for, and he is in every movie you would imagine a type of that guy to be in.
Okay.
He was in Crazy Heart. He was in some Western called Troublemakers. He looks like he's just... Oh, but he hasn't been in anything since 2012.
Oh, maybe he's dead.
He's in Longmire as a pawn shop owner.
Mm.
And then... I guess he's not in his... He's in something called Lazarus Man.
I don't think I know that.
Into the West. War Boys.
War
Dot
Boys.
Dot West.
Hmm.
A couple movies with West in the title. did I say his name? His name's J. Michael Oliva. It's O-L-I-V-A.
J. Michael.
J. Michael.
J. Michael. Good job being a
good
big brawny man.
Yeah, you looked like you liked meth.
I was convinced.
Like biker meth, not like strung out meth.
Yes. That's there's a difference?
No, but there just looks like there's two types, like a Jesse type and a J. Michael Oliva type.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, I see the distinction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I gotta go pack.
Okay, well, enjoy your packing. And I will talk to you when you're in a new time zone, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not a moment before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll call you when I get over the border.
Okay, sounds good.
And I guess until next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg to you, fair listeners.
Listener. Goodbye.
Bye.